Here we go. It's hour number one of the GBAC Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. General at your service. It's great to be back. There's Brian Broaddus.
Chief, what's that voice?
That's Dawson.
It's Dawson.
I'm here. Back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
he's back.
It was only 10 days.
He lives.
Yeah. He lives.
It is good to be here. It's great to see Lucius Alexander over there in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh, fixing to go five there. You got Woolchuck and Schiofalo in the house. It's great to see you as well. Zach was out a similar amount of time. Did you do any Cowboy stuff there in that?
Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots changed with the Cowboys. Lots changed with the Mavs since last I broadcasted with you. Carter Freeman is he's not back there. At least I can see. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, he's there.
He's coordinating your video. And you can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. So I got on the plane yesterday, which, by the way, I'm back in a bad place with flying.
Oh, no.
Okay, I don't know what it is, but my anxiety is at an all-time high. The takeoff, the landing, the damn South Korea situation.
Yeah, that'll get you, dude.
You know?
Spooky.
The 737-8 MAX, FUD is back. Yeah. Where every time I look at the dang card in the seat back in front of me, I'm on a 737 MAX.
Yeah.
And all the bad stories come flooding in, the tail strikes, the lost planes.
Why are we even putting, like, concrete barriers at the end of runways? What are we doing there?
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
What, are we just not thinking there?
Like, I don't know what happened. I mean, they came in way too hot, way too late. The flaps weren't up for landing.
Yeah, no. No chance.
If you're going to belly land, at least... Yeah. You know, bring that thing slow and hit the very start of the runway, not two-thirds of the way down. So, yeah, all that's playing in my head as I get on the first plane.
And you didn't see the Gonzaga. What happened to Gonzaga then, did you?
No, what happened to Gonzaga?
They almost got taken out.
Gonzaga had their charter was taxing into LAX, and a big Delta went taken off flying down the runway and took off, and they're like yelling.
It's like almost a T-bone situation.
I think the name of the airline, Key Lime, it was Key Lime Airline, and they're like, Key Lime, hold, stop. You know, they were like screaming. And
they're the most delicious airline,
there's
but
a
otherwise.
Key Lime Airline?
Yeah, they were Key Lime.
I think about those all the time. So in the initial takeoff and then with the landing and the descent, the scenarios are just running through my head, and I'm trying to meditate it away as I'm sitting there and I'm closing my eyes and I'm playing the apps in my headphones and I'm trying to relax, and I can get like 4 seconds of relaxation before the next scenario flies into my head, like the time Brian told me about the Gonzaga plane. Bang, there it is. Yeah. And I'm off and running again, you know? So anyway, course you get in the air and then you know you're fine, and then the airplane Wi-Fi kicks in just in time to catch the beginning of Texas Arizona State. Woo. And I'm watching that thing to, like, I don't know what it was, 17-3 or 21-3, and then 24-8 or 24-6, something like that. They're up 16 points in the fourth quarter.
24-8.
Okay, so the plane's coming down. We got a four-hour flight. The plane's coming down, and the Wi-Fi starts to get spotty. So, you know, I said, I'm not fighting this anymore. I fought through this boring game enough.
Oh, shut it down. Wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yes. Yes. I guess this is my Corey Seager moment.
He left early.
I left the game early.
Wait a minute.
So bang. 90 minutes later, I walk in my front door and turn on the TV, and I'm like, what the hell?
Nobody?
What?
Nobody?
That he
nobody?
Stop watching the game?
Stop watching the game.
He didn't bring his teammate down with him, though.
Nobody.
I'm just
not the same, Brian.
I'm sorry.
Not the same.
I gotta just wave the white flag on this one.
Nope.
He showed his ass and his ass only.
Well, I mean, the Wi-Fi was doing that thing where it buffers every 30 seconds for 30 seconds.
You felt like you were watching the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight.
Yes. And, you know, I figured there was no drama to be had, but
I truly can't believe, though, it's a 4th and 2 with just under 7 minutes to play, and it's 24-8.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Scadaboo's throwing touchdowns.
6.5 minutes left. Here we go. Finally, Scadaboo, touchdown pass. Boom.
Yeah, that threw me off that it's Scadaboo, not Scadaboo.
It should be Scadaboo.
Yeah, Scadaboo sounds a lot better. 972, there he is, General Beta. I mean, I'm just open and honest with you about my phobia of flying, right?
I'm just as scared as you are.
Are you driving to New Orleans for the Super Bowl?
I am. I actually am.
He's going to hitch a ride.
I
told you I'd carry your bags for you.
I think he might need you to carry him,
but not your body.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand where you're going. It sounds like you got some company.
Got no company.
What's his name?
Doesn't want any either.
On the way home, I've got company. On the way down, I don't have company.
Well, I mean, I think, what is it, a 40-minute flight? It's nothing. It should be nothing.
It's quick breeze.
But it's like, you know, I wonder how many years am I taking off my life by going on 6 or 7 trips, oftentimes with multiple legs per, you know, destination, by the insane amount of adrenaline that floods my body in anxiety. That's not good.
No.
You know, I couldn't get to sleep last night. I only got 2 hours of sleep. Couldn't get to sleep last night because 8 hours earlier, I was terrified for my life.
I was questioning your judgment flying back in the day before you have to be back at work. You always want that buffer day, right?
Well, I got scolded because I didn't take a buffer day once and the flight got delayed.
Yeah.
And the boss was like, that's why you need to take a buffer day. So now I'm always building in the buffer.
So now you're on short sleep. Your cortisol levels are super
high. The stress is through the roof. Well,
you think he was resting with his family on vacation?
No,
you think that's what that is?
Trust me.
Being with wife and kids all day, every day is resting?
He's got a situation taken care of. He does. He ain't gonna sit there and let
swings a big stick.
He ain't gonna let things overrun him in life. Like Dawson will say, listen, Dawson will pull out the wallet and say, okay, you guys go do something.
Yeah. Just pay to leave.
Dawson realizes $400 will buy him maybe 2 hours.
And they get 2 to 3 hours apiece.
Hey, it's always worth every penny.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Abby, I heard you wanted this special kind of hair curler thing. My man is throwing out all the credit cards to make that too. If he can get 30 minutes apiece, he will do that. Trust me.
Man, I'm not saying I'm above that approach.
What?
But I do have a weakness when it comes to the kids asking me for the time. You know?
Yeah.
They want it.
We need to play. We need to go sledding. Yeah. We need to play Magna Tiles. We need to do Legos. We need to paint. Yeah. You know, we need to color.
Do you ever play in baby? Do you ever get down on the floor and you're googling and gaga-ing like a baby and you're being taken care of by your 3-year-old daughter who wants to be the mom
with the diaper on
and you're sucking on your own thumb and you got freaking makeup on your face and then you didn't realize your wife was behind you recording the whole thing at the height of vulnerability?
Just your fetish.
That doesn't happen
really
to you.
Man,
we call that Tuesday.
We need that video. We need that video
that's
for the fan YouTube page.
We call that 30 minutes before daddy's leaving for work. He's sucking on his own thumb.
That is fantastic. No, but I will be the baby, you know, the voice, you know, I'll play with the little baby and stuff like that. She, you know, she finds that to be fun. But anyway, congrats to Texas. Doesn't give you a lot of faith for Ohio State game, does it? I mean, they can't stop the run. They can't run.
Yes.
You know, how many plays did Arizona State run? It seemed like I was watching them play the majority of the time.
Oh, their time of possession was ridiculous. They had a ton of it because of course, you get the special teams touchdown and things of that nature for Texas. But yeah, they were crushing it with the time of possession because it was big plays, you know, some big plays for Texas that were, you know, putting them up early and often.
So we'll get the Sugar Bowl coming up here at 3:00, Notre Dame and Georgia following another tragic day of senseless violence with multiple local and sports ties.
Goodness.
The brother of TCU wide receiver Jack Beck among the victims of a deadly attack in New Orleans. I guess an Odyssey employee.
There was an Odyssey employee separate of that. Jack Beck is a separate, separate deal. But yeah, we did. We lost Odyssey lost an employee down there. Yeah.
Man, another, you know, just crazy day to have to wake up and see that. So hopefully, you know, they can get the game going without further incident. But unfortunately, the reality is it's just, you know, a matter of time at this point before the news happens again. Used to, you know, grow up watching stories like that of, you know, senseless violence. And, you know, it just seemed like it wasn't happening in this way in the U.S. the way that it would, you know, in other parts of the world. But I think we definitely participate in that at some point, you know, just as they do. Okay, so much happened with the Cowboys over the holidays, though. The win over Tampa, things were trending towards a worst-case scenario finish. But then, bang, Lamb is out. Eric Kendricks didn't play. Eagles game fixed that. But we're still looking at a must-lose situation here coming up. At 7 wins, if you would win an 8th game, you could be looking at picking 16th or 17th.
Yeah,
you know, so it's
Commanders. Commanders are going to try and win this football game.
Right on.
So they're Commanders are going to try and hold the 6th seed is what they're going to try and do. So
yeah,
they need to make sure that they get that win. So I was listening to Dan Quinn talk. I was reading some of the things he believes in, and they had this discussion. He said after their game against Atlanta that we're going to go play. Now, how much are you going to play if guys start falling out of, you know? that would be that's always a thought you go into. But their idea is to try and maintain the sixth seed over Green Bay, because that means a trip to L.A., not a trip to Philadelphia.
And I feel like, you know, the Cowboys would be incentivized to not put their absolute best foot forward. I mean, just to avoid injuries.
Yeah. I was the same way. I'm telling Broadus, like, Micah Parsons doesn't need to play in this game. We are already paper thin at linebacker next year. Leofau, you had a great season. We'll see you next year, bro. Don't need to see you anymore.
Yeah.
Tyler Smith, you're a Pro Bowler, dude. Appreciate it. Move on. Tyler Guyton, I want to see your butt out there.
Yeah, he needs to play.
But they don't want to see his butt out there.
You know, I think that. Do you think Mike McCarthy is like the man of honor, that we finish this thing out, we try our best to finish it out? And I say this this way because how many times you get down to that last game, and yeah, we all want them to tank the game, but like it means something though if, like I say, it's seeding. Like Green Bay, his old team, he might not care at all about Green Bay, I don't know, but does he owe it to the Green Bay organization to try and win the game? That's where I think there's a disconnect between us and what those coaches believe. You know, they're like, hey, you don't want to be in a situation where somebody else, you know, you don't want somebody else not playing hard.
That's where you need, the front office to say, listen, you're not going to have these players. We're not going to hold this against you in any way.
If that's the case, then too, you just go ahead and tell them, by the way, you're not going to be back with us this year.
I mean, the nature of this draft, I'm sure they're starting to do their homework. Yeah. Maybe they were tuned into you a couple of weeks ago when you explained how shallow this
15 first-round grades.
Yeah. I mean, when I first saw the CD Lamb injury, I'm like, what changed that made it now I can't play through this? I think it's they were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Well,
MRIs were getting worse.
Yeah, they said the MRIs were getting worse. That was from the organization, what I've learned. Yeah. I mean, but you're right.
Well, and Jerry added, if they were playing for all the marbles,
he said that too. Yeah.
Well, congrats to the five players that made the NFC Pro Bowl roster for this Cowboys team.
No Jordan Lewis, though.
No, he was robbed. Yeah. Doesn't have the reputation of it. But I think it goes to say that next year, along with what we've seen in the second half of this season, it's there for the taking. You've had young guys like Leofau step up. You know, your offensive line hasn't played horribly despite, you know, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith.
It did earlier, though.
Yeah, it did.
It did earlier, though. But you're right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I think next year could be successful was just the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to play 15, 16, 17 games with Brock Hoffman at guard, though.
No, dude, he has not shown.
Brock Hoffman for 6 weeks, woo, let's go.
Versus crappy opponents. We're seeing it with Mozzie Smith, too. Like, yeah, you can play versus bad opponents. You are not the same player when you're going up against the big dogs. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Mavs are in a tough spot right now. Luka being out.
That's three straight losses right there.
Yeah, can't win. Rockets got them. A lot of turnovers last night. PJ Washington sprained knee as well. So I think that's a massive situation. Huge. If you're without Luka and PJ Washington, then you could be looking at a situation where losses could pile up on you in a big way and in a hurry. I mean, especially against good defensive teams like the Houston Rockets, who really extended pressure. And now, you know, the lack of a Luka to calm things down and get you a solid possession or swing the ball to PJ for a corner three. The guy can dribble. The guy can pass. You know, you're in a situation now where they're vulnerable as they get ready to host the Cavaliers tomorrow. And, you know, you just have to hope that they don't dig themselves too big of a hole between now and when Luka gets back. Of course, the trade deadline's going to be around right there at the same time. But now 20-14, 8 games back, and just, a handful of games, 2 or 3 games better than the 10th place Golden State Warriors right now, Brian. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of things that come into focus here with this Mavs team right now.
We were talking about this a while back that, you know, the Mavericks, there were like 6 teams or 6 games that they needed to make sure that they were going to win. You know, Portland was one of those games. You know, the Sacramento was one of those games. Those are 2 losses right there. You understand the Houston ones. Now you got Cleveland, you got the Lakers coming up.
Some good teams.
You got Memphis coming up. Celtics. Yeah, I mean, of the 17 games potentially Luka can miss, you're already trending in a bad way right now when it comes to those games. And you were 9 up to the good over 500, and you thought, well, if you could just, if you somehow can navigate 6-11, maybe be 500. Right now, you're not trending to be a 500 team. That's not, I mean, it doesn't look good right now.
Alrighty. It does look good here for 5 hours of sports content. We have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. We can talk NFL. Who's the MVP going to be heading into Week 18? We'll look at the favorites coming up next, then the G-Bag of the Day here on the Fan. All right, G-Bag of the Day is coming up here in 8 minutes. This segment of the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. We got some NFL MVP odds over there, Woolchuck.
Yeah, CBS Sports has just done their new NFL MVP watch, and they vote. You know, everybody there at CBS Sports goes ahead and votes. And then each first place vote will count like 5 points, 4 points for second, and they tally it all up. So the full MVP leaderboard, you've got three quarterbacks, then you've got Barkley, then you've got Goff at five. But the top three guys are Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow at number three. Now, Barkley, if he were to break the record, I mean, the last non-quarterback to win it, you go back to 2012, it was Adrian Peterson. I believe that was a 2,000-yard season. Barkley certainly would have an opportunity if he was able to break the record. That would be a phenomenal talking point, but it seems as though they're not going to play him, so he's going to finish 101-yard shy. This is a quarterback award. It seems to always be, even if he broke the record, I still don't think personally Barkley would have gotten this. I think it still would have been Allen, Jackson, and then Burrow. Like, Burrow, I just don't see getting this because of the way that he might not make the postseason. Now, he deserves a lot of credit. He's the only reason they're even in the conversation this week.
Incredible player.
But I think I'm leaning right now Josh Allen's probably going to win this MVP award.
Who would be y'all's picks?
Josh Allen.
Saquon Barkley.
Don't you stoop down to the embarrassment levels of our pregame show.
I understand.
Or stink, for that matter. Right?
I wouldn't draft one. I wouldn't draft a running back in the top 20. I wouldn't pay a running back a big contract. I definitely wouldn't give him a franchise tag. You know, but I think once the hay is in the barn and you've produced a season like this, I think it's a genuine conversation because of how much better he is than almost everybody else that's ever played that position.
Yeah, the thing that the only real shot I felt like he had was if he broke the record. But since the fact, what's amazing to me is they miscalculated. They should have just kept running him against Dallas.
Totally, dude. He might have
been able to break it in that game.
I mean, seriously, yeah. it was turning into like 8, 9, 26. I mean, the runs were getting better, as you know, and they took him out with like 9 minutes to go in the game. You know, they could have got that thing with some sizable runs. They could have made that a lot more palatable for them to maybe try and do it this week. Oh, he only needs 20 something yards, you know, and that was just a bad evaluation. But I give Dallas credit for one thing, though, not in this particular game, but he had three games where he was held pretty much in check, if you want to call it in check. The Browns held him in check. Dallas held him in check the first time they played. And then the Steelers got him the time that they played. And that's it. Everybody else had given up a bunch of yards.
I think it was the first time that Barkley's ever had 100 yards against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
12 times playing them, which is pretty damn impressive. I mean, typically Barkley didn't kill him the Cowboys, but he certainly did.
Especially for an all-world MVP, just never seen anything like this guy kind of player.
He is a fantastic player.
Go one 100-yard game in 12 attempts versus what has not been a good Cowboys run defense for the last however many years is pretty amazing.
You're Opoy. Your offense player of the year?
He's my Opoy, unless you want to give it to Jamar Chase. That triple crown.
He's going to give it to anybody but a running back today.
That was my whole thing, was the offensive player of the year is the perfect award for Saquon. What Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are doing are completely different stratospheres of impact on your team and dominance from the most difficult position in sports.
Yeah, it's a quarterback award. At least that's what it has been. I mean, outside of Peterson winning it, you got to go back to, 2005, LaDainian Tomlinson?
Mm-hmm.
So,
A bunch of touchdowns that year, I believe.
I mean, you look at, I think he broke the rushing touchdown record. Mm-hmm. Or most touchdowns in a season.
Once you're at 2,000 yards, especially it didn't take you 17 games, I don't think there's anything to be, you know, defensive about as far as giving this guy whatever award you feel like he deserves. If he's not on the Eagles this year, what's the season look like? Significantly less. I mean, this guy impacted winning in a big way. Would I bet on him staying healthy and doing it again next year? Hell no. You know, do I think Philadelphia made a wise decision? No. they played a bad poker hand and ended up nailing the flop, the turn, and the river. And they're like, look at this. I got a freaking full house with Saquon Barkley. Congratulations. It's going to bite you in the ass in a big way. You got to win the Super Bowl this year. But based on what he just accomplished, absolutely. I don't think you would need to see the record to vote on that if you're looking at it that way. Now, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen have had fantastic seasons, right? There's nothing historic about any one of them. They've just been really dominant. You know, but we've seen lots of seasons like they play. We've seen this 8 times from a running back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know that quarterbacks are having like historic seasons every year and then they're winning the MVP. You know, I mean, it's difficult now with what you got to go out there and throw for 60 touchdowns. That's how you're going to break the record. What, like 7,000 passing yards?
But I think if you're going to take it away from a guy who did have a historic year.
Yeah.
Then you shouldn't just have another good quarterback year.
But if I take Barkley off the Eagles and I take Josh Allen off the Bills, which one's a bigger loss to said team? The Bills have no chance in hell without Josh Allen at quarterback. This was a team that wasn't supposed to make the playoffs this year. They lost Stephon Diggs.
His leading receiver is Khalil Shakir.
I mean, I think this is Josh Allen's award. I think he's won it hands down. I think you're going to have some voter fatigue, which, like, should we give it to Lamar Jackson a third time? I don't think the postseason success has anything to do with this. This is a regular season award.
Yeah, but quarterback's most impactful by far. And then you would look at edge rushers and tackles and corners and, you know, wide receivers and all that. So if that's how you want to do it, then I really don't have a good argument for that. I just think then we should have a best quarterback award. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. Because the MVP to me has become, it's a quarterback award.
Best quarterback.
That's what it is. It takes something historic, like what Barkley might have been able to accomplish. And shame on the Eagles for not allowing him that opportunity to do so. Mm. I think that's a crime.
Yeah, I don't know how I would look at that. I guess I'd go to the player and be like, how important is this to you?
I think it's important to the offensive line. I mean, we talked to Stink about that the other day. He was on the team with Terrell Davis when he got the 2000, and it meant a lot to those guys, those offensive linemen. It meant a lot to the line coach, too. So.
Yeah, I do think that they should have gone for it versus the Cowboys.
Absolutely.
There. And then see, could you get this thing within, close like enough. You said, 15, 20 yards, and now you can go out there and you don't feel like you're risking much. But for a team that is not going to get a bye during the postseason, you're gonna hit the ground running here. What's more important, ultimately? What is more important? Do you want to be the all-time leading rusher and you did it in 17 games, cool? Or do you want to be as healthy as possible going into a Super Bowl or bust kind of season? We just went all in to win a Super Bowl, not for you to get some record that, what does it matter, dude? We're gonna look back and appreciate you. You're not gonna get a parade. You're not gonna get the Jason Kelce moment for whatever it is that you're about to do, breaking a rushing record. You're gonna get that when you go make history winning a Super Bowl. The best chance for you to do that, Saquon Barkley, who is banged up all the time, is to be as rested as possible.
Get
your priorities straight.
The rested.
That's our biggest problem with the Cowboys.
And that's a problem with the Cowboys because the Cowboys believe in the rest stuff like that and still get smoked by the Packers. That team was really healthy going in. Yeah.
That's true. They might be looking at rule of 370. He's at 345 right now. You put him in there to get the record. What if he's only getting 4 yards an attempt? You know, and now you got to go to 25, 26 carries. Now you've hit the magic number. Mm. You're not rested going into wild card weekend. Maybe we got to give it to you 30 times there. You break down divisional weekend. I think by far, but like having the all-time record is so massive. You know, I get the feeling watching Saquon interviews that he's going to do team first thing.
Sure he is.
You know, if you leave it up to him, he's going to be, I want to be fresh. But if it was a massive deal to him, I'd say, okay, you know, let's go for it. It would be pretty cool to have the all-time leading carrier, you know, be on your team. And there's nothing that says you can't get the record and be healthy for the playoffs, you know.
When was that record set, by the way? Was it 1984?
I think it's been 40 years.
Yeah. You're not going to see this record ever broken then because people are not committed to running the ball like that anymore.
No, you're probably right. Philly's a special team right now in that regard.
Gentile time break
to go into the Pimp Cup. We're Lucius Alexander. How's your G-bag of the day?
Okay. How you boys doing? How you doing, General? You
all right, man? Awesome, man. I'm good. You?
Yeah. I'm in here.
Right back into
doing
the
my thing.
What's up, foxhole.
Happy New Year, bro.
What is up, Pimpin? How you feeling?
Doing all right.
All right. Well, where we last left off, our winner right here, Fulham FC, London's original football club. The announcer for this team right here, he calls out a flopper in the middle of the game. pretty upset by it, but their man Harry Wilson scores a goal at the same time, so it's a lot going on in this clip, and everybody's pretty excited, and he's calling out a flopper, so, you know, just sit back and listen, player.
Anthony Robinson trying to work his way past Neto. He tried to take Iwobi out. Play goes on. Header back. Yeah! Oh, yes! Come on! Fuller!
Harry Wilson.
It's Harry Wilson again. Harry the hero. Neto can clear off, lying on the ground, holding his face, you cheat. Harry Wilson from close range.
You cheat.
Oh, come on. This is what we're calling him out at the very beginning.
Get up.
Anthony Robinson trying to work his way past Neto.
He has to stop himself.
Get up.
He was going to call him the C word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I believe that one.
I don't think I've ever heard, like, the local call for European soccer. I always get, like, the national call.
So good.
Local guys, those blokes are getting after
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I like it. Big fan.
That Anthony Robinson guy, by the way, who was mentioned in the beginning of that clip, getting mentions now as perhaps the top fullback in the game. Ooh. Which is notable because he plays for the red, white, and blue. Better than Juszczyk.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something else.
Hey.
Tears for Fears.
Hey. Umbrella in my drink, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
For no reason. I'm at the house.
Hey, where are those umbrellas?
Yeah, I just wanted to dress it up. Trap House Sports. You guys may be familiar with Trap House Sports because he makes those diss tracks. Mm. Y'all lost to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Y'all some booty cheeks. Bow, yeah. Bow, 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 bow. He did a Cowboys breakdown video of the loss to the Eagles. Mm. I had to sit in deck for a second, but I'm going to let it go, bro.
Yeah, man, another week of Cowboys football, man. Right here, can't even get my words together, bro. I'm just so flabbergasted. Hey, bro, what's wrong with Kenny Pickett? He acoustic? What was this? What the flying was that? He got thrown by his own ball. Ball through him. I never seen it before. It was the worst thing Kenny Pickett or any NFL player has ever done, ever. Turns right around and start dotting us up, bro. I'm devastated. Can't stand it, bro. Why are we even out there? You just out there bullshit. He ain't out there playing for real. You just out there getting paid. Ain't nobody really out there playing for real. Not even Cooper Rush. He out there throwing a punts for the other team. Straight belt the ass, man. Belt, we was getting whooped. We got a whooping. Fresh out the shower whooping. We hit our report card for my mama. That's the kind of whooping we get. Talk back to the teacher. That's the kind of whooping we got. Devontae Smith, little ass out there doing us bad. Kenny Pickett got hurt. They put the third string in. Guess what he do? Dots us up. Out there getting laced by the third string guy. We get laced by the
I like the mic over modulating. Yeah. I like the mic over modulating right there.
That's good.
Yeah, I like that one. Coach Saban was a College Game Day star right now.
Yeah, he is.
Brought his call it. He's like, well, they let Coach Saban say what he wants to do what he wants on there.
Yep.
And you're right. Coach Saban was on the College Game Day talking about how Alabama should have been recruiting Tez Johnson.
Yeah.
What I'm sitting here thinking about is Tez Johnson's in Birmingham, 45 minutes away from Alabama. We didn't recruit the guy. Who was recruiting Birmingham, and I should have fired their ass.
Yeah. Who was it? To the bottom of that.
Yeah, who was it? Do you remember?
He stayed. He went to Troy first.
He went to Troy first. Yeah. And we didn't recruit him when he...
What
do
you have
to
either?
It's not you,
man.
Coach.
I'm
it's 2025.
Coach. Come on, move on. Come on, move on, coach. Come on.
Fine.
Wow. Times change fast. Dude.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
It is better.
Yeah, let him talk.
Let him talk.
We're trying to entertain, man.
Let him talk.
Have you seen the timeline? We got to reach a little bit sometimes, bro.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing because there's a blessing out here for you. I promise you. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes, and big up to all the prayer warriors that hit the New Year's Eve service and came back for that midweek service.
Wow.
Woo!
Yeah. That's commitment right there.
That's how the year worked out this time.
Yeah.
That you committed, bro. You're going to get like this. As soon as you get up there, you're going to get the fast pass in the line. Oh, there you go. Come on up here. Come on up here, brother. I've been waiting for you.
Yeah.
We got a pastor right here that he thought it was TD Tuesday.
Oh.
He thought it was TD Tuesday.
That you can show your love and show the love of Christ throughout our city and our neighborhoods and things like that. On your way out today, you'll see that we love our city t-shirts. Grab your We Love Our City t-shirt on your way out, all right? Yes.
And that other thing.
He did. Lamar, he messed that up.
We love our TD t-shirts, though. That's some good merch.
Yes, we love
our TD t-shirts. Might be one.
Hey, you know, you could get a new wing of that church built by next week.
100%.
Get those online.
Yeah. And then what is breast month? What is that?
October. Right. Yeah. It's always breast month. Breast month, buddy.
Get a pink shirt for breast month. All right, I'm out of here, brother.
G-bag of the day. It's time to vote. Is it the pastor going full boom shakalak right there?
Yeah.
Boom. Coach Saban College game day should have fired the guy who is recruiting Birmingham. Trap house breakdown of the Eagles loss or a Fulham flopper.
I want to see what the pastor was looking at that time that he was. Yeah. Something had him distracted out there in that audience.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Something had him. Pam had them boys wrapped up. He was like, damn.
Oh, goodness.
You getting hot in here? I'm going to go with the breakdown of the Eagles loss, Chief. How about you?
Me too.
Lucius?
Coach Saban.
2-1, we'll check.
I'll take the Fulham FC announcer.
Brian?
Trap house.
By a score of 3-1-1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion. Once again, this probably is third or fourth reign.
Yeah.
As a very entertaining gentleman there. Okay, we got a college football darty coming up. Chief, where are you taking us there?
Yeah, we got the best moments from round two, and we prep our bodies for the Sugar Bowl next in the nation.
I love it. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. This is Remy's favorite song right now, my three-year-old. And it is amazing at that age, the things that they, you know, parrot and, you know, pay attention to. Anyway.
Eurythmics, huh?
Yeah, she's loving it. NFL News Today is coming up at 3 o'clock time now for a college football darty. Here's the Chief.
All right, Sugar Bowl's on deck. We'll get you set for that here in just a second. Some breaking news. Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe has declared for the 2025 NFL Draft.
All right.
See you later.
So we'll see how that shakes out for him. Are you guys surprised to find out that when Bama and Michigan were playing the other day in a bowl game, Broadus in his LSU Tiger gear was actively rooting for Alabama to win?
Wow.
He hates Michigan more than Alabama. Okay. That was a little surprising to me.
I've seen around bowl season, like, conferences come together against other conferences. I mean, I am not an Alabama fan
by any means. I just do not like Michigan.
Are you boastful about the SEC, though? I would say the answer to that is yes.
No, I'm just anybody against Michigan. That's kind of how I look at things.
Don't know what they did to you. Win one championship in Fort
Dutch. It's Dutch. I don't like Dutch, and that's why I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mine.
It was pretty cool, the side-by-side of, like, 2024 started with the fourth down stop. You had Michigan beating Ohio or Alabama in the Rose Bowl, and then January 1st, 2025, same thing. You get the Michigan stop of Alabama to win that bowl game. Obviously, the playoff was way better, but it still ended in very similar fashion to start the new year.
So. Wow, that's wild. All right, before we look back, let's look forward. Did we just get a huge bet?
Jerry Rafferty. You can't get her to like Jerry Rafferty.
Did she get a huge bet on Georgia?
$230K on Georgia +1 to beat Notre Dame.
Good song.
I know.
I'm sorry, Wolchuk. Broadus was doing
the
show.
No, we'll do our side show, and then they can do whatever the hell they're talking time, about baby. Over there.
So somebody just placed a $230,000 bet on Georgia, who is now a one-point dog in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The under Bulldogs right now, and I love that bet. Now, granted, take anything I say seriously, because my college football predictions, borderline, just flush them all. Borderline. Not a full goose egg. But borderline.
You went over, though, on the over-under for Texas and Arizona State, didn't you?
Yes.
And I ended up hitting, thanks to overtime.
Yes, and I had Arizona State covering in the game. But otherwise, I thought Boise State was going to keep it closer. I thought Oregon was going to win.
I did too.
I mean, what a shellacking.
That was stunning. Congratulations, Ohio State.
Ohio State was so impressive yesterday.
Damn impressive.
I mean, I guess that Michigan loss was a huge wake-up call. Jeremiah Smith, and he's the headliner for sure, true freshman wide receiver, just lighting the world on fire. And people are saying if he was in this year's draft, he'd be the number one overall pick. I don't know if that's hyperbolic or not, but certainly a freak show super beast who was on full display. But everybody for Ohio State yesterday, it was like they could do no wrong, dude. They were, I mean, the physicality defensively, just smacking dudes. Super impressive with what the Buckeyes did yesterday.
I think I'm more impressed, honestly, with Howard, the quarterback. I didn't think he was capable of playing to this level.
I think that's fair. He's really turned it up.
You watch Ohio State's skill. Like the defense doesn't surprise me. I know when Carter came in here the other day, we were talking about, you know, what Oregon would have to deal with. We kind of talked about the front seven for Ohio State, and then they got the safety, the freshman safety. Mm-hmm. They've got legitimate defensive players. I did not think that Howard, their quarterback, could play at this level. The last 2 weeks he has. The Tennessee game he was outstanding. Yesterday he was outstanding as well.
Yeah, he's really locked in.
They're going to have a chance to win this thing. If he continues to play at that level.
Well, if he's playing at that level, I think that they have a chance to run away with it like just like they did versus Oregon and with Tennessee, like sure. Just embarrass folks. Texas, you show up to play the same way you just did, you're not going to be able to compete here. Will Howard's doing that. The rest of the Buckeye roster is sort of historic with how impressive it is.
Like, and everybody's, Chip Kelly. I mean, what a job Chip Kelly did against his former team. Like Jeremiah,
he was awful against Michigan, but he's been really good the last couple
weeks.
You've
got receivers running wide open in that. I mean, and maybe Oregon just had some busts on their side of it, but Chip Kelly was scheming it up yesterday.
Dan Lanning was bad on defense yesterday.
They were.
Oh, yeah, he got tore up, man. That was super surprising. I was not anticipating that.
They hunt matchups. That's what Ohio State does. They hunt matchups. You get your 6'4", 6'5", receiver on 5'10", corners and stuff like that.
There you go.
It's a good recipe.
Dan Lanning's not our day, but it wasn't your day versus Michigan.
Yeah, I know. Nice I thought that dig. That was, I was like, hey, dude,
if I'm Ohio State, I don't even care now. We're moving on.
That was, that doesn't look good on you, Dan Lanning, lashing out like that. You just got smoked, dude. And they were celebration blocking your guy Will Howard. Weren't letting him up on the celebration stage.
I kind of feel like that my man number 91, who was trying to kind of plead his case, like this is the quarterback dude, should have got off the stage and let him on in his spot.
That would have been a good teammate.
Yeah, I think that that's what you needed to be. Is that Williams? I think
it's Ty Williams, the defensive tackle.
He's damn good, by the way.
Good player.
He's a really good player, in my opinion. But, yeah, I mean, you get off the stage and let him jump up there, you know?
Just switcheroo.
Or throw somebody off the stage and, the old switcheroo.
Yeah, that something should have happened there. But, yeah, Ohio State looking outstanding right now. What's the early line versus Texas?
Six. Ohio State -6.
Yeah, right now you feel like you'd be all over that, right? And the tickets are no joke at AT&T Stadium. I know Wolchuk had some numbers on that. That's crazy.
Unreal.
But
I own a pair and a parking pass.
Yeah, you could probably get some good money for those, man. Because these things are absolutely insane. I mean, you're looking at like basically $400 to $500 just to get in.
Yeah, down in the lower the 100 sections.
That's where you got your pair.
Yep,
that's a low hanging pair right there.
Low hanging pair.
Pay for Bennett's ski trip with that pair.
Yeah,
dude.
He's
hitting the slopes, and then he's coming back for a good old fashioned Cotton Bowl playoff game.
Wish we were Bennett Broaddus.
Amen, come dude. Back. Yeah. I have serious envy every time he gets brought up.
That's why you guys always laugh at me for doing all these podcasts and stuff. That's exactly why.
You're footing the Bennett bill. Uh-huh.
I thought I'd spoiled my kids. Yeah. I heard about you.
Takes it to another level.
Yeah.
Okay, we have. I mean, some of the plays from that Texas. What play stands out to you from that game? Because I mean, the fake punt was awesome. And you're thinking, is that a tight end? It's a 290-pound defensive tackle with the softest hand you've ever seen.
Amazing.
And he makes a huge play to kind of reignite that game a little bit early on in it when ASU was looking really, really bad. And then I know it was illegal, and they should have, I guess, not counted it. But suplexing your own running back into the end zone for pay dirt.
Yeah.
One of the coolest ways to score a touchdown.
Nice job, 77.
Why is that outlawed? You know, we can push him in now.
Yeah, I didn't think you were allowed to carry your dudes in, though, but we are.
You can't carry them. I guess you can push.
They carried him, though. They carried my man in.
They suplexed
him. Yeah, they did. It was like a, here, let me carry, let me flip you over the top of me. It was amazing. I loved it.
If you got a dude strong enough to pull that off, I think the fans want it. I think it'd be good for ratings.
You see the name of that Arizona State defensive lineman that made that catch?
No, what was his name?
Blazin. Blazin Lono Wong. And it's a hyphen.
Hey,
Lona
dude.
Wong.
Wow. Yeah, I got to figure out what that Lona Wong is.
Yeah, that's an all-name
I want to meet Blazin's parents.
Blazin.
I bet you they're fun.
they're a good bunch.
We Jamaican, man. We smoke bud.
Give me that last name one more time, Wolchuk.
Lona Wong.
Lona Wong Kush. Love that. That dude is fantastic. And then, of course, you had the Scatabo. Again, you're talking about, or Scatabo, excuse me.
Did his old man, I mean, does he... It's a crazy,
oh, that's a spitting image.
It's like crazy how he looks just like his dad. Spitting I mean, image, exactly dude. Like his dad.
And Scatabo is, I mean, a wild animal. Yes. He look. I mean,
is
the
he
neck,
like 5'8"?
The neck and jaw. I mean, just built for football. And then he's got the crazy psycho maniacal eyes to go along with it. He's got his lineman helping him up off the ground, and he's pushing his lineman away from, like, get away from me, dude. I'm in the zone right now. He's puking. Actually, here's some sound. Here's some sound of old Scatabo here, because he gets the MVP. And that's the first time they've ever done that, where the losing team has the MVP. And it was certainly a conversation, but you feel like the way Quinn Ewers closed that game down, and we'll have that conversation in a minute, seemed like that would have been worth it. But let's go ahead and tee up Scatabo with Dan Patrick today after we all saw him vomiting during the game.
Yeah, I think I was drinking a little too much water and Powerade, you know, at the same time I was, and I think I ate something bad in the morning. I had a croissant breakfast sandwich, and I don't think it went down very well, and I wasn't feeling too good all the way leading up to the game. And until I threw up, you know, I threw up and I felt like a completely different person. And, you know, after that throw up, you know, the game switched for me and how I was playing. It was completely different for me. So it was nice. You know, I looked down, took a deep breath, puked, took another deep breath, and then got back on the field and, you know, played my game of football. So.
Very impressive stuff there. We all know that feeling of just being one puke away from having
rally
a fantastic
puke.
Night.
Rally
puke. You know, yeah. You're not always there. Sometimes this is a grinded out situation, and no one puke is going to do much for you. You're in this is the long haul. But when you're one or two pukes away and you know it, gosh, that's such a liberating feeling. And then you could see he became a different version of himself.
I've never had that during sports, though. You know, covering games, I've seen, like, most teams have one guy that might do pregame puke or something like that.
Yeah. No, I've waterlogged myself, like, during like, off-season workouts. Not during a game, but, like, workouts. You're doing gassers, and you're like, let me just puke real quick, and I'll be so much better. That was clearly the case for him. But I'll tell you one thing, too, about watching ASU football, having that little yellow spot there.
The line?
No, the yellow in their logo.
Colors?
Yes. Yeah, like right there, you have the burnt orange, but then you have the yellow and the maroon. That yellow throwing me off almost after
flag.
Every play. It felt like there was a flag.
Yeah.
It was so aggravating. So that was just a sidebar, but Quinn Ewers not getting the MVP. Are we cool with that?
Well, I think they did say it was voted on 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter mark. So I think that's why.
Were down 16?
Why would they do that?
It was like right out. I think they probably got all the votes in like right as Scatabo was throwing that touchdown pass. And then you're thinking, okay, well, I mean, if he wasn't on the field, I will say Arizona State didn't have a chance. Like, I was getting annoyed for Sun Devil fans. Like, dude, quit tapping yourself out of the game. Now, obviously, he needed to hurl, and then he was all good to go. But it's like, dude, stay on the field. This is the playoffs. Yeah. What are you doing, bro?
Yeah, it's a big game, and that's a horrible protocol to follow, making the MVP vote with 7 minutes to go. That's a fireable offense, if you ask me, Chief.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. And, you know, we've been all over Quinn Ewers with him being a guy that needs to continue to marinate in college football. A little bit inconsistent. Had some bad moments throughout that game for sure. But the way he closed that game down was totally dynamite. I mean, of course, it boils down to being down a touchdown in overtime. It's 4th and 13. And this is the moment right now. You're in the pressure cooker. And they go basically all-out blitz. And the offensive line holds up beautifully. Easy money, golden. And that dude's a stud. Golden with the touchdown.
Yeah.
But even in lead up to
sideline
that. Sideline
catches, too.
I mean, he leads him down for 2 game-winning field goals. They just miss it. And then the first OT possession, he's 2 for 3, 30 yards, touchdown. And then the other one, the second possession, it happened in a blink of an eye. You're like, wait, they scored again? And then they immediately get the 2-point conversion. He was dynamite the final 5 minutes or so of that game.
Appreciate it, you Chief. There it is, a college football darty here in the G-Bag Nation. Calvin Watkins coming up at 3:20. We'll talk to him about the Zeke release and all your Cowboy storylines. NFL news of the day coming up next. Well, Chuck, what do you got?
We got the Barkley decision, Pro Bowl rosters, and NFL history. That's next.